To Devin. Well, good evening. Welcome everyone to the August 2021 Thursday Information Net. This is SCAR, the South Coast Edmonton Radio Service, voice over IP session using service commonly provided by KV8ZGL, and for that we're always grateful and thankful. We have a host of very good South SCAR staff, and of course each of you who are listening tonight as well. So we look forward to your input during the program. It will be a program that we will have a description of regarding computer security, hacking, and how to protect yourself and your equipment as well. So some very useful information. All right, with that, I should say I'm having a little trouble pulling up the written preamble here. So probably the best thing I can do is just go ahead and turn it over to our first presenter, of which there will be several tonight. Please be advised, everyone listening, that this tonight's session is being recorded, and if you do transmit, that you will be a part of that recording. All right, so let me turn it over to our first net control of this of the evening for this Thursday information net of August 2021. This is NL70. Over.
Okay, George. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We're just having a little bit of trouble getting started here all the way around the map, it looks like. Well, guys and gals, to bring the preamble just up to short, our website is www.southscarsvoip.com. And that's spelled S-C-A-R-S-V-O-I-P.com. And on that site is a lot of information, but one is in particular, the centerfold is showing a promo on the program for tonight. And I would draw your attention to that because it has three articles of reference that I would suggest strongly if you're interested in learning more about safety of your station security-wise. To breeze through those, some very, very good articles. So with that all said, we're going to be talking about Internet security this evening, and that's meaning protecting your digital equipment from the hackers. And we have run similar programs on this subject over the last few years, but by popular choice of some of our members, we have been asked to do it again. Let me buy a nickel here a second. Some things can be said over and over again, but in this case, not enough in our opinion. That's SouthCar's opinion. If you lock your house, you lock your car, you lock your safe deposit box, why not lock and protect your digital equipment? This is what we're going to be talking about tonight, guys and gals. So tonight you will be hearing some things that we have said before, but along with that will be some of the new thoughts and programs that are currently being suggested and tightening our belt and suspenders on the subject. So let's get started here with the program and allow me to call on our first narrator. That's Dave over in Wales in the UK, GW8SZL. David, are you ready to go, sir? And good evening. Over.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gordon. I'm all ready to go. Okay, good evening all. This is Dave, Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, from Wales in the United Kingdom. And now before we get started this evening, I would like to start by giving you our definition of some of the terms we will be using during this program. Now a hacker is a person who circumvents security and breaks into a network, computer, file, etc., often but not always with malicious intent. Now, a cyber virus is a segment of self-replicating code planted illegally in a computer program, often to damage or shut down a system or network. Malware is software intended to damage a computer, mobile device, computer system or computer network, or to take partial control over its operation. A firewall is an integrated collection of security measures designed to prevent unauthorized electronic access to a networked computer system. And being aware is informed, alert, knowledgeable, and sophisticated. For starters here tonight, let me say that staying protected is best done by making sure you are using the programs available for this defensive measure and staying very alert on how you use and access the internet. At this point, let's take a few minutes to clear our thinking process. Hackers and antivirus vendors are involved in a never-ending battle. Hackers continually create new ways to infect your computer or attack your system to steal your data, money, or identity. The antivirus vendors create methods to detect these threats and keep them from harming you. Now, being alert about how you use email, what links you pick, websites you choose, and files you download is your first line of defense. But antivirus software can help these efforts, providing security to keep your electronic devices and information safe. Antivirus programs aren't one thing, but instead a package of defense mechanisms designed to protect your computer against the constant onslaught of known, unknown, and ever-shifting malicious threats devised by these intruders. Let me reset. Okay, at this point, I'm going to look for any check-ins or any comments on what's been mentioned so far. Please come now, call signs phonetically and slowly, please.
Avic FHJQ, morning.
Hotel Alpha.
Good morning.
Okay, we got VK3HJQ, John, down there in Australia, and K2HA, Fred, the happy amateur. I'll just pass it around to John, VK3HJQ, in case you've got any comments there, John. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima with the cast, August TIN.
Yeah, morning there, Dave. Oh, yeah, a couple of comments. Well, the only way to stay safe is don't have your PC on the net. I have one PC that's dedicated that doesn't go anywhere near the internet, and that's the only way you can be 100% positive. And yeah, some of these antivirus vendors are the ones that write the viruses, so then you can sell your antivirus. Yeah, it's all pretty straightforward. Just don't go on the internet. That solves the problem, Dave. Back to you.
Yeah, okay there, John. Yeah, well, just we don't shut down the internet, and we won't have any problems. There was another station, I think, that doubled with John there as well, and we'll call that station in after we split one round to Fred. Okay, we've heard John's opinion. Mind we just shut the internet down, we'll go back to snail mail, and then, you know, all the antivirus companies and all the rest of it, and the hackers will be out of business. What's your views there, Fred? K2HA. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Well, thank you, Dave. This is Fred, K2HA. Blessings to you and everybody listening on the net, and those in your household there. And I think that was Robert from Australia that was trying to come in. He said, good morning. That's the only part I heard. But yeah, I was one of the ones that requested this refresher on this program with the new material. So I'm looking forward to the presentation. Okay, back to you, Dave. This is Frey, K2HA, the happy amateur.
Yeah, okay there, Fred. And thank you for taking the time to pop in and say hi. Yeah, was that you, Robert? VK2DY. All I got was a good morning as well. You devil with John HJQ. VK2DY, GW at SNL.
Yeah, that was me. I just managed to get a good morning in there. It's Robert, Victor Hilo 2, Delta Yankee, and Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, but all part of the urban sprawl that is Sydney. 13 degrees, headed for a high of 24 Celsius. Sun is shining, sky is blue. It's spring. Forget that there's 2 weeks until spring. Anyway, thank you so much for putting on this. I one of the things I do is I keep offline backup of everything that I find important. All my photos and everything are on an offline backup because I just don't trust
once you have the internet coming in, I don't know if there's any way to stop somebody who's determined. So, VK2DY, back to net.
Yeah, VK2DYTWNSLL. A true gentleman after my own heart. I do exactly the same. People think, okay, do we all need backups? It's not going to happen to me. And then when it does, oh dear. That's for sure. So, was there anybody else who'd like to check in and make any comments at this time? If so, please call now.
9-Zulu-4, Romeo-Golf, November. 9-Zulu-4, Romeo-Golf, November. Ronald, Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, West Indies.
November 4, Foxtrot Tango Delta in North Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay, I've got Ronald there in Trinidad and Tobago, 9-Zulu-4, Romeo-Golf, November. And the Florida station, November 4, Foxtrot Tango Delta. I'm sorry I missed your name, not sure if you gave it. I was too busy writing down your call and information. So round to Ronald. 9-Zulu-4, Romeo Golf November. Do you have any comments or whatever on the content so far? Go ahead, Ronald.
Yes, good evening to you, Dave, and good evening to all other operators on the net. 9-Zulu-4, Romeo Golf November, Ronald. Yes, I'm looking forward to the presentations on the subject of cybersecurity and hacking. As a person with an IT background, this is something that I'm often concerned about. And far too often, many people don't think about cybersecurity and the possibility of being hacked until something happens to them. And oftentimes, it is often too late. And they need to remember that what happens to the equipment itself, if the equipment is damaged or shut down in any way, is one thing. But the most valuable part of any system is the data, especially if your sensitive data has been compromised by hacking. So it is everybody's business, and you have to do what is necessary to protect it at all times. So carry on smartly. I'm looking forward to the rest of the presentations on this subject tonight. Great net so far. 9-Zulu-4, Romeo Golf, November. Southcast number Echo 2789. Standing by. Over to you, Dave.
Well, keep all your sensitive data close to yourself. And, you know, that's a very, very good point, because obviously you can lose identity fraud and all the rest of it that goes with it. Thank you very much for those comments there, Ronald. And now we'll go around to Paul. I looked you up on the Echolink screen. November 4, Foxtrot Tango Delta in Myers, Florida. Paul, now, what's your comments there, sir?
Yeah, thank you, Dave. This is N4FTD in North Fort Myers in Florida, where it's hot and humid. I think it's like 95 degrees out still at this time of evening for us. Well, there's a couple of things that I do, and I always say it's not if, but when you get an attempt to get breached. I like, especially when I'm not at home with my own internet connection, if I'm out and about, I always turn on a VPN, Victor Papa November program. There's many available, which kind of creates a tunnel between you and your destination site, bypassing hackers and other, even your VPN, or your ISP, I should say, and gives you some security. They're usually encrypted from end to end. I do that. I also think it's important to mention passwords. In the olden days, I remember using almost the same password for everything until I was breached with my main email account. So then I started looking into password manager programs that will store all of your passwords in, again, a secure vault, if you will. You have to have a very long and memorized password to get into that, and then once you're in, all of your other passwords are stored inside it. and they make these apps so that you can easily plug them in where you, when you need them, but they're long and very hard to guess, filled with numbers and letters and all kinds of random characters. So those are my two things, and somebody already mentioned backing up. I have multiple and multiple types of backup, because again, it's just a matter of time before you too will get hacked. This is N4FTD. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, November 4, Foxtrot Tango Delta. Yeah, thank you for bringing it up there, Paul. Yes, very, very valid points. And, yeah, on my servers, people are trying to do port scans every day, namely from two particular countries, which probably everybody knows about anyway, but I won't mention them. And having a good, secure system, just don't let them in. If you let them in, then you've got a problem, that's for sure. Okay, thank you, Paul. Do you have anything further at this time, Grant?
No, not at this time. Just hello to everyone. It's been a long time since I've been on South Cars, and been watching the notifications. I was interested in the topic, so I made some time tonight to jump in. So hello to everyone. Back to you.
Okay, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima Dave over here in Newport in South Wales in the UK. Okay, thank you all for checking in there with your comments and views. I will now continue with the program. Okay, the word antivirus is a misnomer. Viruses are merely one type of malware, and malware is only one type of another number of internet threats. It is like a zebra. Each zebra has stripes. But not everything that has stripes is a zebra. Malware is a generic term for every malicious threat. So you have worms, viruses, ransomware, and much more. And all of it is malware. Virus is only used as a marketing term, and usually a threat is a combination of several techniques. Antivirus software constantly scans your computer for threats from emails, web surfing, and app and software downloads to make sure everything you do and access online is free from potential harmful code. Now, once a problem is detected, the software will warn you about it, block you from accessing a suspicious file or website, or eliminate the threat. Now, how does antivirus software actually work? Internet threats resulting from various online activities, such as email, link selections, web browsing, file or app transfers or downloads, and video recording and calling, for that matter, require different antivirus solutions. Now, these include, but not limited to, firstly, signature analysis. A signature-based analysis is similar to fingerprinting and is one of the most common types of antivirus threat detection. All antivirus software vendors compile and constantly update a database of identified threats, known as virus definitions, from files and suspected websites. Antivirus programs compare the fingerprint or signature of a detected potential threat against the analyzed threats in the database and respond accordingly when there is a match. Next, there is heuristic analysis. Now, many hackers understand signature-based tools and know how to disguise their malicious code, and in response, some antivirus software also uses a so-called heuristic approach, often described as a sophisticated trial-and-error method. Now, heuristic-based analysis works to identify suspicious characteristics in an otherwise unrecognizable file that might not match those of known malware. Okay, just let me reset. Okay, do we have any further check-ins or rechecks for that matter on the previous content? This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima listening. Okay, nothing heard, so I will continue. Now, sandbox detection. Some potentially malicious code is so well disguised or encrypted that it escapes signature and heuristic detection. Thus, if an encrypted file seems even vaguely suspicious, some antivirus software will open and run it in a sandbox. Now, this sandbox is a secure area inside the software that the antivirus program uses to determine if the file is innocuous or malicious without damaging your computer. Now we've got machine learning and artificial intelligence. As hackers have learned to adapt, antivirus vendors have developed more sophisticated machine learning and artificial intelligence technologies to identify new techniques hackers use to disguise their work. The software then adds information about these new threats to its detection database. As it collects more information, the software becomes better at detecting previously unknown malware. Behavior monitoring. Now, generally speaking, behavior monitoring watches the traffic between your computer and various devices. External hard drives, USB thumb drives, network computers, printers, and so on. To stop them when they do something suspicious. If necessary, antivirus software can undo any changes these external devices make. Now, can antivirus software actually stop hackers? Because antivirus software vendors are almost always playing defense against hackers, behaving judiciously online and using antivirus software will never protect you 100%. Now, hackers' primary point of attack, one that antivirus software is powerless against, is prompting careless user behavior. Instead of trying to stealthily plant a malicious file, more and more hackers try to get you to give up your information or provide a way into your computer. To do this, they send emails with malware-laden attachments or links to bogus websites to trick you into clicking on, downloading, or navigating to something harmful. Never open attachments or click on links in emails sent by people you do not know. And I'm sure also we can relate to the phishing emails and all the other things that we get on a day-to-day basis. I know there are other ways to stop hackers as well. For instance, most legitimate websites employ TLS, Transport Layer Security, which is an encryption to prevent eavesdropping. Now, TLS is good for users' privacy and bad for people wanting to snoop on web sessions.
Just hold on, everybody. He's in a timeout state. He'll be back. KY6V.
Your timeout, the last word we heard was session. If you could pick up from there, GWNSL-NL-70. Thank you, sir.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that, gentlemen and ladies. Okay, I'll continue on from there. Hackers don't like it for the same reason. Secure website addresses, URLs using TLS begin with HTTPS rather than HTTP. Now, avoid downloading files from or sending private information through sites that begin with HTTP. Okay, W4RFJ up there in Ridley Park in Pennsylvania. Take it away, Chief.
Okay, this is W4RFJ in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. Thank you there, old petrified one, and hello to one and all. Since David has done such an excellent job on antivirus, I'd like to take the discussion on to the purpose of using a firewall. Now, as mentioned before, a firewall is defined as an integrated collection of security measures designed to prevent unauthorized electronic access to a network computer system. When I attempt to describe this system, I want to make sure everybody understands that, you know, the internet consists of two devices. One's the server, the other's the client, and both of them are computers. Each computer has an IP address. I relate that to a building that has an address on a map or within a neighborhood. In this case, we're looking at ports also are used for protocols to communicate back and forth. So when you're using HTTPS to look at a page, you're actually knocking on the door of port 443, I believe. If it's HTTP, it's port 80, but or door number 80. So if you look at that addressed building as a large hotel that has 65,535 doors and or ports. These ports are used to funnel in and out of the computer validated information for egress and ingress to the real world. So basically, when you're bringing up a web page on HTTPS, I believe the port is 443, you're actually knocking on the door numbered 443, and once you've entered and the communications is set up, you retrieve the data that's inside that room. So let's look at things this way. Each port is like the entrance door in a hotel for you to come into or exit the room. If the door is closed or locked, you do not get in. If the door is open, you are permitted entrance. This is the job and the purpose of a firewall. Let me grab a nickel. Okay, the firewall, through its associated software, can reside in your computer, your router, or even possibly both. The software assigns what COM port, I don't like using COM port, but what port is to be used or what door for a particular program, and what matches that port to the name of the program being used, and in so doing only allows traffic to be active if everything matches the original control file. And another thing to think about too is, you know, there is a language for HTTPS. We call it a protocol. And that protocol uses a specific port. So if the program uses port 80, it could be a telnet program using port 80, it's going to get port 80 language or, well, anyway, let me grab another nickel here. There are many configurations for firewalls that can be used. This portion is beyond the purpose of this program tonight, but let it be said that if you have multiple networks in use, a separate router can be assigned to each network, and those routers can contain firewalls within them, which have been set to different security levels to assist in the use of that network. Before I take this discussion further, do we have any check-ins or comments at this time? If so, please call now. This is W4RFJ with the Thursday Information Net. Come now.
Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo, checking in for a late check-in. Sounds pretty good.
Okay, Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo. I can't find my pad. I'm trying to write things down and, oh, there it is. Never mind. Anyway, do you have any comments about the topic we're discussing right now there, Ken? Go ahead and give her a try.
I know. It's very interesting. I just got turned it on, so I heard the last little part, and now I got your section. So that's cool. No, that's good. That's firewalls are a pain in the butt when you're running IRLPs, trust me. Or Echolink sometimes. They just do horrible things to you. Anyhow, I know quickly I have my firewall turned off on my computer because of the security system I run, and they conflict, so I turn the firewall off, and the other one works just fine. But, they can be a real pain in the butt sometimes, but they really work. So, anyways, carry on. Have a great net. VE7, Papa Golf Kilo.
Alrighty then, VE7, Papa Golf Kilo, this is W4RFJ with the TIN, August TIN, and thank you for your comments, sir. I guess one of the things that is kind of sitting in my craw here a little bit is that, you know, when you're talking about a firewall, it's basically a computer with two separate networks. Look at it from this standpoint. One door is connected to your internal network, which let's say is the state of Florida, and the other network adapter is an address that's connected to the internet. So what is it that causes this firewall effect? Well, everything is blocked from the internet to that private network in Florida. okay? And what happens is with a firewall, you can actually open ports up. Let's say you want port 80 to go to computer 25 on your Florida network. Well, you can open up that port so that requests will get to that internal computer. Without that specific line stating, hey, you got access to this, it's a firewall. It's a brick wall. It just will not allow anybody, and that nobody can see your internal network. So, okay, continuing on with the program, I have found sometimes it is beneficial to give several examples for better understanding of the subject matter. So let me take firewalls into a second look-see. Let me grab a nickel here. When it comes to keeping your computer and all of your files safe, there's only so much you can do on your own. You can make sure it has a strong password, which is always good, and even use multi-factor authentication, which is one of my favorites, to log into certain programs or applications. But these methods only go so far. To ensure maximum network security, your system needs to be utilizing a firewall to keep unwanted visitors out of your private network and away from your personal information. So, you know, that's okay if you don't have a server, but, you know, if you're just protecting your internal network, then that's okay. But you got to keep in mind, if external is coming in through a port that you've opened up, that's a way for them to get in and take advantage. All right, so not sure what a firewall is or if one is already in use on your network? Keep reading to find out. Hold on just a second. All right, let's knuckle down here. What is a firewall? A firewall is a network security system that monitors and controls incoming and outgoing traffic based on preset security parameters. How do firewalls work? Firewalls establish a barrier between secured and controlled networks, whether they are trusted or untrusted, like the internet. Using a wall of code, a firewall works to isolate your computer from the internet while inspecting the data. The data packet as it arrives on either side of the firewall. Then it determines where it should be allowed to pass or be blocked. The incoming traffic is analyzed based on preset rules and is carefully filtered from unsecured or malicious sources to prevent an attack. Let me grab a nickel. Okay, though they sound complex, they're relatively easy to install and set up. Depending on which firewall software you decide to use, can help and or hinder that application. Types of firewalls. Firewalls can either be software or hardware, depending on the type, but it's best to utilize both. The software version of a firewall is installed into a computer to regulate traffic through port numbers and applications. A hardware version of a firewall is a piece of equipment installed between the network and the gateway. But I can tell you from experience, whether it's hardware or it's software, it's the same protocols or language or they're all programs when it comes right down to it. All right, I'm going to reset the timers. Let's get some more check-ins in here. This is W4RFJ. I'm talking about firewalls, and our good friend, the petrified one, oh great wise one, Dave over there in the UK, was talking about viruses and TLS. So anybody out there want to jump in and comment? What kind of firewall are you using? I'll even share with you what kind I'm using. Come now. All right, now just calm down. Everybody, you know, take your turn one at a time. W4RFJ with the South Cars August Thursday Information Net. Any check-ins?
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Sierra Zulu Lima.
Okay, I paused the four mermaids. Lima Charlie Bravo, come on aboard, George number one. How you doing this evening there, shipmate? W4RFJ, what kind of comments you got for us?
Great day. Thank you, Roger, for getting all these walls up there. Seem like I've been climbing a few here lately. But we kind of wonder, you know, trying to get all these things configured in the right ports number there, you know, that in itself is a task and a half. But I'm quite sure a whole bunch of you you fellas around here could get it, see it through there. But just wanted to jump in there and say evening time, and thank you for doing the net there, and we'll make sure we'll get some time to revisit this this subject here on the podcast coming up. Thank you, sir.
King Whiskey 4, Lima Charlie Bravo, this is W4RFJ. Well, good evening there, George, and yeah, look, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to shoot us an email. You know, I'm sure between, you know, the real experts like George N070 and Captain KY6V, you know, they kind of make us, you know, average technicians look kind of small, but I'm sure some one of us would be able to come up with some assistance and or help. Now, I use my own firewall. I found that firewalls, hardware firewalls, just don't have the real estate that I need to be able to control my network. And, you know, I like to keep logs. I like to be able to dig into the logs and see what's going on. And I have a separate computer with four network adapters in it, and it's fanless, and I picked it up for $20 at a ham fest, and literally it runs my router slash it is my router. I used to use a program, let me grab a nickel. I used to use a program called IPFire, which is like IP cop, but which is a Linux distribution and sets up with a web interface to control it, but it doesn't support IP version 6, which is 128-bit protocol. So I'm using a new program called PFSense. All right, GW8SZL, this is W4RFJ. What do you think of all them bananas?
Yeah, from GW8SZL, with all those bananas haven't converted me into a chimpanzee, their chief. Yeah, I run IP tables, all on Linux, of course. IP tables usually ClamAV as an antivirus, and I also add fail to ban to it all as well, just to top things off. But, yeah, and I think it might be worth mentioning that if somebody's running two antivirus programs at the same time, be it on Windows, Linux, or whatever, then the fun starts, because they don't like each other. And they can cause, you know, running more than one antivirus program, thinking, okay, we'll run two, be better protected, but it doesn't work out that way. It just causes so many headaches and problems running software. Your computer runs slow and then fast, and not a good idea. I just thought I'd throw that into the mix there, Chief. W4RFJ, GW8SNL.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I know I've had those issues back in the early days. Thank you for bringing that up. Anybody else want to join the crowd? This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net for August. Come now.
Six, Victor.
Kilo 6, Echo Victor Delta.
Okay, the net recognizes 6 Victor and Echo Victor Delta. Anybody else? All right, everybody stand by. Get those satellite dishes pointed at the captain. He's going to give us some knowledge. KY6V, it's your turn, sir. Step up to the mic, and this is W4RFJ.
Well, no, but thank you, Roger. I've got a question before the house. Very good point that David brought up here. Don't run two antivirus programs at the same time, guys. It'll just muddy the water for a lot of reasons. But the question that I have goes along with the same line. What about running two firewalls in series? Okay? Is that good or is that bad? Does it do anything for you? Now, I'm going to admit that for the last number of years, I have been running dual firewalls, an active firewall in my router and an active firewall in my computer. They seem to marry each other very well. I haven't had any problems, but I do sit back from time to time and said, well, you know, is this really doing any good or isn't it? So there's the question. KY6V, go ahead, Roger.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point. And I got to tell you, I've got more firewalls than I can shake a stick at. But that's only because I like to be able to provide some separation or protection from each of my networks. If somebody were to get into my main network, then they would have a heck of a time trying to figure out that I even had another network. And I also set up, laboratory type situations where I have a little 5-port switch that, I hook up a bunch of Raspberry Pis to, and then I run it through a Raspberry Pi router, which gives me the ability to VPN out into the internet. So that keeps all my information secure on one side of the firewall, whereas it's wide open on the side that I'm actually using the VPN from. So there's pluses and minuses when you start having to troubleshoot. That's where you can run into trouble. But I hope I answered your question. Did I answer your question, Captain?
Well, yes and no. Let's take it just a step further. I understand this when you want to channelize and break things off into other directions and block the passage except for what you want to be used that you just described. I'm talking about having two identical firewalls active at the same time, one in the router, one in the computer, that are controlling the same ports. If I want port 62,000 to be open, I open them up on both sides, the computer and the router. So the question basically is, Am I kidding myself by going to this trouble of dancing with two? KY6V, over.
Yes.
Okay. I heard somebody coming in via the WA3NNA repeater. Do you have an emergency, sir? Okay, hearing none. Yeah, I get it. And I thought I was kind of answering the same thing. But, what you got to think about is, If you have a firewall that's between your network and the internet, you're basically controlling what the internet can connect to within your network. Having a firewall on your PC is only protecting the PC. So, in a sense, you've got double protection. You have protection from however you have your firewall set up to protect your network, and then your PC has got, you know, whether you block it or you allow it, type of protection from anywhere. It's actually for the PC. It's not going to affect the rest of your network. Does that answer your question?
Well, I hadn't thought about it that way, but thank you, Roger. I'd take that a step further. I don't want to tie up the net here. The firewall that's in the router that's serving the whole network scheme is talking to computers that have, each computer has its own, or each network, let's put it that way, each network has its own built-in firewall too. So I'm playing the Texas two-step throughout, Roger. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, this is W4RFJ. And let's see, we'll break with the captain and Echo Victor Delta. Come on aboard. This is W4RFJ. Any comments for the net concerning firewalls? Over.
Good evening, everyone on the net. This is Bob in Poway, California. Yes, I have a question about firewalls and our routers. A couple weeks ago, I was trying to set up my equipment in sysop mode. And in order to get it to work, I was required to use something called port forwarding. I've always heard that that's a very risky thing to do, security-wise. But I went ahead and did it. I had to buy some software to help me do it correctly. My question is, I assume this is standard operating procedure if you're going to set up a node, Echolink node, in sysop mode. So is it safe to leave the ports forwarded? Or should I disconnect the forwarding, or is it a non-issue? Thank you.
Well, when you're talking about packet, I'm assuming you're talking about packet, correct, Bob?
Well, yes, I'm talking about setting up Echolink in sysop mode so that I can operate, with my own node and have people call into me and then get to the internet, into Echolink that way.
Got it. Well, that's I'm sorry. You know, we've been, there's a group of us that has been playing around with packet and G8BPQ and allowing people access. Well, let me see if I can answer your question. First of all, the computer that you're running your Echolink on is, in a sense, a server. And Echolink needs to be able to talk to it to establish the connection. In other words, you bring up your Echolink program in sysop mode, or any mode for that matter, but in sysop mode, you know, it's listening for requests on a specific port. And I'm trying to remember what the ports are right off the top of my head, but I can't, so I'm not even going to try. So when that request comes from the Echolink servers to connect to your system, you're inside your network, you have to open a port that allows that port to be passed along to the computer that's on your network. And you've got a total of possible computers of 254 computers, I think. Something like that. Anyway, so that's why you port forward. So port 80 coming, let's say you got a web server inside your network and you got your Echolink computer set up as a sysop. They all have different ports. And if you want somebody from the internet to be able to connect to that computer and that port, you got to tell the firewall, hey, it's okay to take this port and send it to that computer and this port and send it to that computer. Does that make sense? Over.
Yes, it absolutely does make sense. I guess the follow-on question, which you may get to, is, does that put me, I assume that makes my computer insecure.
Comment.
Yeah, I knew you'd be in there sooner or later. sorry, give me just a second there, Captain. It depends on the security protocols that you're using. I'll pass it over to the captain because he's probably got a more graphical and simpler explanation than I do. I'm brain dead. I've been working all day.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you, Raj. Hi, Bob. KY6V. Name's Gordon. We're here in South Florida. Bear in mind there's a couple of things we're not discussing in this back and forth on Echolink, and that is when you get into the port forwarding department, when you set up your port forwarding, and since you just went through this, you'll probably recognize what you had to do. You have to name the program that you want the port to address when it's being asked to be used. along with the IP internal IP address of the machine that you want it directed to. So if somebody came in on the port assigned for Echolink, there are three of them. It's 5198, 5199, 5200. Two of them are UTPs and one is TCP IP. So, or TCP anyway. So they come in, they're going to end up most likely, they had to have credentials to get into the system to start with. If they had circumnavigated that, they're going to end up in your Echolink program, and I don't know where they're going to go from there. You want to take it from there, Roger? KY6V, over.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the thing you got to think about, Bob, is, you know, whatever port you have forwarded, here's an example. I think Dave mentioned it earlier. You know, HTTP, which is port 80, there are all kinds of ways for people to get into your system as a HTTP server, right? If you open a port or you forward a port to a computer inside your network, that's how they get in from the internet, and it's a common protocol, so that's why we tell you that HTTP sends everything in the clear. So you need to use some kind of TLS or security certificate type of system so that people won't be able to pick at the data. Does that make sense, Bob? I forgot your call already. Sorry. Go ahead, Bob.
No problem. It's KK6EVD. Yeah, you guys are making a lot of sense. This is a very murky area. And hard to get into in depth on a program like this. So I don't want to tie things up for everybody else who may or may not be interested in this topic. But no, you guys are helping clear it up a little bit. It's still murky. It's not 100% clear, but we probably should move on. Back to you, KK6EVD.
Okay, KK6EVD. This is W4RFJ. By the way, are you a SCARS member?
I'm a very new SCARS member.
Well, outstanding, and congratulations. Welcome to the SCARS family. Very good. Well, you know, if you're around and you want to chit-chat, I'm sure you can find someone in here that would be glad to pour out the advice. Anyway, long story short, short story longer. You know, you got to keep thinking about, you know, when you're talking about internet or networking, period, you know, each computer has an address. That's like the street address, okay? And there's 65,535 ports that can be utilized on that server or that client. Those ports or doors open up a certain language, depending on what that port has been designated for. We know port 80, it's HTTP. Port 443, it's HTTPS. So there you go. You're going to get a secure connection through port 443, whereas it's going to be unsecure with port 80. So I'm hoping that kind of takes the murkiness out. All right, let me grab a nickel here. Let me make sure I'm not missing anybody. Was there anybody else who wanted to join in? This is W4RFJ with the Thursday Information Net for the wonderful month of August 2021. George, did you have something or did you accidentally key up?
Well, we did, but we'll let it go for right now there, Roger. All these firewalls you got going on each part of your life there. Hey, day. Mercy me. Man of many talents. KW4, Charlie Bravo.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, but don't let it get out. It'll ruin my rep. All right, let me move on here so that I can give everybody else their turn up at the plate here. Proxy firewalls. A proxy firewall is a gateway from one network to another for a specific application. These provide additional functionality such as content caching and enhanced security as they prevent connections from outside the network. I also use a proxy or a web proxy going from the inside of my network to the outside, which prevents anybody from connecting to places that I don't want them connecting to. All right, so proxy firewalls filter traffic at the application as it acts as an intermediary between the two end systems. An advantage of using a proxy firewall is that any machines outside of the network being protected can collect only specific information about the network since they are never directly connected to it. Okay, let me grab a nickel. Stateful inspection firewall. Stateful inspection firewalls are often thought of as a traditional firewall, and as it allows or blocks traffic based on state, port, and protocol. These firewalls work to monitor all activity from the moment a connection is open until it's fully closed. All right, then we got next generation firewall. A next generation firewall, NGFW, utilize traditional firewall technology and combine it with other functionality like encrypted traffic inspection, intrusion prevention systems, cloud-delivered threat intelligence, antivirus software, and more. These block modern threats such as advanced malware and application layer attacks and can detect them within seconds, allowing a user to take action fast and avoid as much harm as possible. You know, when I was going over this, it didn't seem like it was going to take this long, but I just accidentally moved too far away. Hold on a second. W4RJ. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I just lost my place, and I'm having trouble finding it. Okay, here we go. I'm almost there. This is W4RFJ. And Unified Threat Management Firewall. A Unified Threat Management Firewall, UTM, combines the functions of a stateful inspection firewall with antivirus measures. These firewalls can often include cloud management since they focus on simplicity and ease of use. And then we got the Threat Focus Firewall. A Threat Focus Firewall includes all of the features and functionality of an NGFW, while also providing advanced threat detection and mediation. These firewalls provide a user with heightened data and can better detect suspicious activity. If a threat does occur, these firewalls can quickly react to an attack, in addition to decreasing the time from detection to cleaning up the potential mess. All right, let me grab a nickel. And the one that we normally see on our our routers or our wireless routers is the Network Address Translation Firewall. That's where you're actually changing the IP address. Well, let me read it here and we'll go from there. A Network Address Translation Firewall makes it possible for multiple devices with their own internal network addresses to connect to the internet using one IP address, thus keeping the individual IP addresses within the local network hidden. By doing so, hackers scanning a network for an IP address to hack won't be able to capture the necessary details, which will provide greater security against these attacks. That's unless, of course, you provide a port forward in a non-secure protocol. Let me reset the timers here, W4RFJ. Okay, a wall you can believe in. Some walls make sense and some don't. One that does, a firewall to enhance your network security and stop hackers in their tracks. It's an absolute must that you use a firewall as your first line of defense so your personal information doesn't fall into the wrong hands. So there you have it. I've got feline terrorists jumping all over me now. NO70, you ready to pick up the ball? It's the baton is in your hand. This is W4RFJ. Earth calling sheriff. Earth calling sheriff, NO70, this is W4RFJ, you there? Okay, I don't know what happened to George. You want me to keep reading on there, Captain?
No, sit back and take a break. And I'll try to pick it up here. We've been having our issues trying to get a smooth program going here tonight, haven't we? Technically, anyway. NO70, last call for alcohol. Where'd you go, George? Over.
KY63 and the South Guard CIN. NO70, my apologies. How can I be over?
I got you. We were worried. We thought the Indians got you. Over.
Well, I'm privileged to be pulling up the caboose of this train tonight, and the chief's very comfortable Navy chief chair in the caboose of this train of knowledge tonight is makes it a pretty comfortable to be here. All right. So anyway, let's proceed then with the wrap-up of this South Cars TIN for Thirst Information Net for August 2021. On computer security, knowledge, hacking, and prevention. So thank you, Roger, for those insights. Hi, everyone. This is George NO70 here. And I'm the narrator that will be ending the program from the caboose tonight. So allow me to continue from this point in an attempt to consolidate points of our discussion tonight and further make available a printable list of security steps that we should all be aware with. Should all be become familiar with. Can you reach that? All right, how to secure your computer from hackers. Now, in this attempt to consolidate points of our discussion tonight, I'd like to recognize that the information that follows has been obtained from an article written by researcher Mr. Mark Friedman on October 13, 2020, and was published by the Business News Daily. So, how to secure your computer from hackers. Despite the prevalence of computer hackers, most businesses rely on the internet to track their financials, order, and maintain inventory, to conduct marketing and PR campaigns, to connect with customers, to engage in social media, and also to perform other critical operations. Yet, we still continue to hear about massive computer breaches, and even at giant corporations with robust security measures in place. Small businesses are often targets as well, especially because they may underestimate the risk of cybercrime to them as a small business, and that small business may not have the resources to employ expensive cybersecurity solutions. So, let's take a look at a list of tips to protect your devices and safeguard your sensitive data. May I suggest, if you haven't, pull out please a pen or pencil and piece of paper or document on your computer, and let's go down the list. First one, item one, use a firewall. We heard of excellent discussion of firewalls earlier. Windows and Mac OS have built-in firewalls, software designed to create a barrier between your information and the outside world. Firewalls prevent unauthorized access to your business network and alert you to any intrusion attempts. You should make sure that your firewall is enabled before you go online. You can also purchase a hardware firewall from companies such as Cisco, Sophos, or Fortinet, depending on your broadband router, which also has a built-in firewall that protects your network. If you have a larger business, you can purchase an additional business networking firewall. I do remember a computer show at the Washington, D.C. Convention Center before firewalls were just getting started. And they only had hardware firewalls at the time. And people were really trying to figure out, what is the firewall? What's the piece of equipment do? What is it for? Well, all right, item two, install antivirus software. Computer viruses and malware everywhere. We heard an excellent treatment of that earlier tonight on this program. Antivirus programs such as Bitdefender, Panda-free antivirus, Malwarebytes, and Avast protect your computer against unauthorized code or software that may threaten your operating system. Viruses may have easy-to-spot effects. For example, a virus might slow your computer down or delete key files, or a virus may be less conspicuous. Antivirus software plays a major role in protecting your system by detecting real-time threats to ensure your data is safe as that firewall antivirus software works to protect your data from external intrusion. Some advanced antivirus programs provide automatic updates, therefore further protecting your machine from the new viruses that emerge every day. After you install an antivirus program, don't forget to use it. Run or schedule regular virus scans to keep your computer virus-free. I cannot emphasize that enough. Do either schedule automatically or manually run regular virus scans to keep your computer virus-free, because the activity of hackers now is becoming so aggressive and so fast-paced that instead of being a matter of days before a new virus makes its way out there, it can be a matter of hours or minutes or even seconds. Resetting? Item 3, install an anti-spyware package. Now, what is spyware? Spyware is a special kind of software that secretly monitors and collects personal or organizational information. It is designed to be hard to detect and difficult to remove, and spyware attempts to deliver unwanted ads or search results that are intended to direct you to certain and often malicious websites. Some spyware records every keystroke to gain access to passwords and other financial information. Anti-spyware concentrates exclusively on this threat, but it is often included in major antivirus packages like those from Webroot, McAfee, and Norton. Anti-spyware packages provide real-time protection by scanning all incoming information and blocking threats. So anti-spyware does scan all incoming information, block threats, and detect keyboard loggers. That brings us up to item number 4. Now, for those of you that are writing these down, let me just repeat items 1 through 3 here. Number 1, use a firewall. Number 2, install antivirus software. And number 3, install an anti-spyware package. All right, number 4, let me reset. Number 4 is to use complex passwords. Now, using secure passwords is the most important way to prevent network intrusions. The more secure your passwords are, the harder it is for a hacker to invade your system. More secure often means longer and more complex. Use a password that has at least 8 characters and a combination of numbers, upper and lowercase letters, and computer symbols. Hackers have an arsenal of tools to break short, easy passwords in minutes. For example, a dictionary attack would be a list of very short passwords that they can scan through very quickly. And if you're using a short password and that same person on all of your devices, within a couple of minutes, they have access to your systems. So you want to use complex passwords. You do not want to use recognizable words or combinations that represent birthdays or other information that can be connected to you. Don't reuse passwords either. If you have too many passwords to remember, consider using a password manager such as Dashlane, Sticky Password, LastPass, or Password Boss. All right, that was item four. Item five, keep your operating system or OS, apps, and browsers up to date. Just like you have to update your software and put in new features, your security systems and software also need updating. Always install new updates to your operating systems. Most updates include security fixes that prevent hackers from accessing and exploiting your data. The same goes for apps. Today's web browsers are increasingly sophisticated, especially in privacy and security. Be sure to review your browser security settings in addition to installing all new updates. For example, you can use your browser to prevent websites from tracking your movements, which increases your online privacy. Marisa? To boil number five down to something very practical, if someone is able to pick up your social security number or your bank account number, know which bank that you bank at because they track your movements and they know which branch you use, and they have found out your PIN for your ATM card because that was in a document which they were able to access because they broke through your passwords or using an older browser. Now you have identity theft, and that can mean expense in time and effort and very real financial loss there. And it doesn't necessarily have to be real sophisticated. There are cases, especially in the field of blockchain technology, where something called a wrench attack, where they come up and at the ATM, touching a pipe wrench and say, give me your passwords and your money. So you want to keep your information and your movements confidential. That was item five, keep your OS, apps, and browser up to date. Resetting. All right, number six, ignore spam. Beware of email messages from unknown parties and never click on links or open attachments that accompany them. Inbox spam filters have gotten pretty good at catching the most conspicuous spam, but more sophisticated phishing emails that mimic your friends, associates, and trusted businesses, like your bank, have become common emails, so keep your eyes open for anything that looks or sounds suspicious. That is number six, ignore spam. Number seven, and this is very important, and I know we had a station point this out up very early in the program. Number seven, back up your computer. If your business or you as a radio operator or you as, or your family as computer users are not already backing up your hard drive, you should begin doing so immediately. Backing up your information is critical in case hackers do succeed in getting through and trashing your system or locking your system up and demanding a ransom or currency or cryptocurrency for you to get your information back or have access to it. And there's no guarantee that once you pay it, you will get that access back as well. Always be sure you can rebuild as quickly as possible after suffering any data breach or loss. Backup utilities built into Mac OS, such as Time Machine and Windows File History, are good places to start. An external backup hard drive can also provide enough space for these utilities to operate properly. Now, as you do your backups, and this can be time-consuming, but you will thank yourself later. Use what is called a grandfather, father, son, or three-generation backup sequence, where you have a rotating backup through three generations of backups, and that will allow enough redundancy for you to lose less than if you lost everything from the beginning. So using a 3-generation backup system, while time-consuming and somewhat aggravating, is not anywhere as aggravating as having lost everything because your computer was not backed up. All right, so that was number 7, backup your computer. Let me reset. Number 8, shut it down. Many businesses, especially those operating a web server, are all systems go all the time. If you're not operating a complex internet-based company, however, switch off your machine overnight or during long stretches when you're not working. Always being on makes your computer a more visible and available target for hackers, and shutting it down breaks the connection a hacker may have established with your network and further disrupts any possible mischief. Item number 9 on our list of things to do to secure your equipment and your station. Use virtualization. Now, not everyone needs to take this route, but if you visit sketchy websites, expect to be bombarded with spyware and viruses. While the best way to avoid browser-derived intrusions is to steer clear of unsafe sites, virtualization allows you to run your browser in a virtual environment like Parallels or a VMware Fusion that sidesteps your operating system to keep it safer. And number 10, secure your network. Routers don't usually come with the highest security systems enabled. When setting up your network, log into the router and set a password using a secure encrypted setup. This secure encrypted setup prevents intruders from infiltrating your network and messing around with your network settings, which then can add in with other things such as port mapping being incorrect, which then leads to access to the more dangerous parts of your computer networking settings or your station software, even your radio control equipment, which can lead to FCC fines, penalties, and more expenses. Let me reset, and we'll go to number 11. Item number 11 in your protection scheme, use two-factor authentication. Passwords are the first line of defense against computer hackers, but a second layer boosts protection. Many sites let you enable two-factor authentication, which boosts security because it requires you to type in a numerical code sent to your phone or email address in addition to your password when logging in. So for those that are not familiar with two-factor authentication, you'll see it abbreviated as the number 2, capital letter F as in Frank, capital letter A as in Alpha. 2FA is the abbreviation for two-factor authentication, and when you're trying to log in, it will then ask you to go out and look at your email or phone and type in a randomly generated code sent by the 2FA server, and that will allow you to complete the login process. As you can see, the email being or text being sent only to your email or phone address means that others can't access it to be able to log in without the 2FA, and that increases your security. Resetting. All right, item number 12, use encryption. Even if cyber criminals gain access to your network and files, encryption can prevent them from accessing any of that information. You can encrypt your Windows or Mac OS hard drive with BitLocker for Windows or FileVault for Mac. Encrypt any USB flash drive that contains sensitive information, and also use a VPN to encrypt web traffic from wherever you're sitting with your client computer to then go to the internet to someplace else. By using a VPN to encrypt the web traffic, all they see if they do a sniffing of your signal is just a random set of characters and letters rather than the information itself being sent. You should only shop at encrypted websites, and you can spot them immediately by the HTTPS in the address bar, accompanied by a closed padlock icon. Another comment, too, is that if you're using public Wi-Fi, it's best to not go logging into your bank accounts, IRA accounts, financial accounts, personal confidential information, pictures of family, vacation plans that people will know when you'll be away from your house. Now, you want to keep all of that off of open Wi-Fi. A VPN can encrypt that and help, but like anything, nothing's always 100% secure, so it's really best to restrict public Wi-Fi connection to casual browsing use or out and about type of shopping or travel planning. The key takeaway here is combining security tools and best practices can protect your computers and your network from unauthorized access. All right, so that was item 12, use encryption. Item 13, turn off Bluetooth. When you're not using Bluetooth, turn it off. Keeping your Bluetooth on but dormant opens another backdoor for computer hackers to get in and see your network and see your traffic. So with Bluetooth turned off, there's one less path for signals to get into your computer from the internet, meaning hackers to get into your computer. All right, item number 14. As we said earlier, don't use unsecured public Wi-Fi. Password-free, widely used Wi-Fi networks have no security features, and as such, the unsecured public Wi-Fi are prime targets for computer hackers and therefore for your personal and confidential information that could put your financial and even personal safety of you and your loved ones and your friends at risk. Item number 15, get a security app. Install a security app on your phone just as you should install a firewall, antivirus software, and an anti-spyware package on your computer. Popular options include Avast, Kaspersky Mobile Antivirus, and Bitdefender. Item number 16, use a better passcode. Now, while it's easy to remember unlock codes like 0000 and 1234, they're also very easy to guess. And I would add other things too, like 7890 or sequential numbers. Instead, opt for a randomly generated six-number passcode. Even those two extra digits can make a big difference in your cybersecurity protection. Resetting. Number 17, switch off autocomplete. What is autocomplete? Autocomplete is the feature that guesses what you're typing and completes the word, phrase, or other information for you. While convenient, this tool all but hands your email address, mailing address, phone number, and other important information to hackers. So switch off autocomplete. The only exception might be when you are working on a document and you can separate from the internet, turn off that access, and then come back later. But there are risks, again, where if they see that in an autocomplete log having gotten into your system, then you are at risk of having revealed your addresses, phone numbers, and other important information. Let me come back now. That was 17, switch off autocomplete. Here's number 18. 18 is clear your browsing history. Your mobile web browser has a browsing history too. Clear it often, including cookies and cached files, to give hackers as little information as possible to work with if they do break into your phone. The key takeaway here is that mobile devices require additional efforts to protect, including deactivating certain features when they're not in use, and also you should be installing security applications. Certainly mobile devices do make life a lot easier for us. They help us get from point A to point B faster, with less confusion. They help us avoid traffic jam backups and trouble areas on the road. But that information also helps to pinpoint your daily rounds, where you shop, where you bank, where you may be visiting family or friends. For example, GPS logs keep a very detailed log of where you've been as well. So mobile devices, while very convenient and helpful and definitely have their place, they are worth it only when you make the extra effort to protect your mobile device and include the deactivation of certain features when those mobile devices are in use. All right. With that, let me see if there are any other check-ins or rechecks for this August TIN Information on Computer Hacking. Please call now. This is NO70. Over.
Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima.
And that recognizes Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima. And we called him the Petrified One, but that's because he has such rock-solid computer security. Your feet are going to get stuck in the granite of his GWSFL's security measures. So talk about concrete boots or whatever it is called. If you mess around with GWSFL's security, you're definitely going to have your feet down there. Am I right, oh, Petrified One? GW8HZL, NO70, over.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Yep, you're 100% correct. Just one final comment for the net from myself. It's 1:37 a.m. here now. Every now and again, I know when you were talking about earlier, HTTP being not secure and HTTPS being secure. Every now and again, I come across a site that you can actually, even though you can connect it on the HTTPS and the domain name, and you can also connect it on the HTTP and the same domain name, because whoever set it up forgot to do a redirect from HTTP to HTTPS. And obviously, the HTTP side being unsecure on port 80 makes the site vulnerable to attack. I normally try the HTTP and the HTTPS, and if the HTTP stays with the HTTP, there is no redirect, so I stay well clear. And I just wanted to add that as a closing comment for you there, George. From Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra, Zulu Lima.
GW8SZL and the South Cars August 2021 TIN, NO70. And thank you, Dave, for that reminder. Very, very good points as well. And I'm sure that a lot of our radio operators do have their own websites and have created those in an effort to provide easier access to QSL cards, confirmation cards, network as a network participant or net control station, information about capabilities, which goes into emergency preparedness, all of which have been covered on other TINs on the South Cars website. All of that are reasons for you, if especially if you have a website, to be aware of effective website data security. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Dave. All right. With that, I believe that we are at the end of the comments on this. I want to thank everyone who has come by this evening for being here. And this has been a very informative. I learned a lot tonight from these other well-educated and well-experienced people that have checked in tonight and provided their information as well. So thank you, everyone, for coming by this evening. This has been the SCARS VYP TIN for August 2021. I'd like to remind you that this will be available as a podcast on the South Cars website. I spell that Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra, VictorOscarIndiaPapa.com. That should be posted within the next 48 hours. Gordon usually does a very good job of getting it posted early the day after usually. And we also then have upcoming this weekend at 8 a.m. Saturday morning, the flagship AM Connection Net. At noon on Saturday, Eastern Daylight Time, the international SSIN Net for our international stations, who also are welcome at any time. And we have the evening rag cheer with Fred K2HA at the very capable helm. And a marvelous, delightful time for the rag cheer at 7 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday evenings. So look out for the posting to the South Cars website for the podcast. You may look back over through previous podcasts and see how things have changed. Maybe pick up some programs that are out there that you might be interested in and did not have a...
Well, it looks like he timed out right at the finale, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming by. See you all downstream. KY6V.